You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Selection Sunday. Sunday coffee.
That music's a special brand of Sunday coffee.
Yeah, that music puts you in the mood right there for a little basketball.
Man, picking up the paper this morning. Not the paper. That's a figurative term here, not literal. Nobody picks up a paper anymore.
Well, that's why we're here.
Exactly. We're your Sunday paper.
We're your Sunday paper.
We're the old Jackson Daily News. You remember that? You had the Clarion Ledger, the Jackson Daily. I don't want to tie myself to the Ledger.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like Dallas. Dallas used to have two papers, right?
Yes.
You had the
Dallas Morning News, and then you had something. You have the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Yeah. Well, this is Sunday
Dallas
coffee.
Dallas and Fort Worth, two towns, 30 miles and 150 years apart.
Well, but
very different places.
They are.
Fort Worth is in Texas. Dallas is not. Dallas is TV Texas. Fort Worth is real Texas.
Well, they've grown together now. Have you been out there lately?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Anyway.
You know, I get out there about once a year.
Yeah.
Of course, off the bat, we're in the Farm Bureau studios. Farm Bureau's all 82 counties throughout the state of Mississippi. And no matter which one of those counties you're in, you'll be able to tune in today and see the Bulldogs get selected for the NCAA tournament for back-to-back seasons. But when we last got together, and by the way, Bart and I have been doing some Twitter spaces. So follow us on Twitter at Charlie Winfield, at Bart Gregory. Because sometimes when things go right in the sports world, we'll hop on after the game, talk about it. We did a couple of Twitter spaces this week and got some really positive reaction to that in the baseball stadium yesterday. But wherever you are in those 82 counties, you'll be able to see us get selected to the NCAA tournament. Last time we got together, I don't remember if it was on this show or on a Twitter space, but I remember thinking, oh, man, we're in. Tennessee is just kind of icing on the cake. Woof. Things got crazy.
Well, yesterday. A&M is playing themselves into it, man.
A&M has done it. NC State is a bid stealer. You had like five bid stealers yesterday. What about the guy who is relieved of duties and now is taking his team to the NCAA tournament? Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, the guy out on the West Coast. I forget which school. But they basically told him, look, you can finish out the year if you want to. Well, now they're going dancing.
It's not like Utah State women's basketball coach where she just told everybody in the post-game press conference, what do you think about next year? Well, I'm not going to be here next year.
Stanford did that.
Did they?
They did that to their men's coach this week.
Huh. Well, hey, this is Sunday Coffee presented by our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. Strange Brew, located on Spring Street and Highway 12. I've got my big cup of blueberry cobbler flavored coffee. Charlie won't let me call it my tall boy anymore. But I've got a little cream and sugar in it this morning and tastes great. Hey, listen, I can't believe I'm glass half full today, Charlie. Glass half full, and we lost yesterday in men's basketball and we lost in baseball last night. And I'm not being an apologist in any way. I'm not accepting defeat gloriously in any way. But last night, I was driving home and I was like, you know what? Even though the wins were not there today, what did you say on Friday about our baseball team? I just want to see us compete. And I thought yesterday, and it's easy to compete when you're ahead. I mean, am I wrong for saying that? I mean, it's easy to play hard when things are going well. We came out yesterday. We didn't boot it around. They knocked some balls out of the yard. They jumped on us early. We didn't walk a bunch of guys, save for maybe the third inning. We walked some guys there. But they hit the ball out of the ballpark. That happens. That's baseball. But being down 9-1, and the past 2 years, I think you see a different outcome than what you saw in that game yesterday. And I left there thinking, okay, first of all, last night when you're coming back, you get it to a one-run game, I thought the atmosphere at the ballpark, and, of course, that was one of the three games that you and I don't broadcast. And so we had the opportunity of being out there in the outfield with fans, with our friends, And last night felt like 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, the crowd was into it. It was a good atmosphere. It was night. And you didn't get that extra base hit at the very end, but you had some really good plays in that game. Last night was, even though you lost the ball game, was some fun.
It was fun. And I had somebody tell me yesterday, they took a little bit of issue with us because we were saying, hey, we just want to see this team compete. We want to see this team show energy. And they basically gave me the, that's just the poor old Mississippi State mentality. No, it's not. It's freaking being minimally observant. You can't, you're not, look, yes, it has happened. You can go from last in the league to first. But realistically, this is a program that, whether we want to use these words or not, is in rebuilding mode. And one of the things that we had to rebuild was a little bit of confidence. We had to rebuild some competitiveness. And I know people don't like to hear it, but it's the facts. We haven't competed the past two seasons at all. And I get it. It's two games. I'm going to give you a hot sports opinion here. LSU isn't that good.
Well, you know,
but
we got to see them again today, and that's where I was going to be careful, is because I didn't want to come out here and say anything negative about LSU, and then all of a sudden something pops today and they win 20-2.
They could,
but I don't see
Thatcher Hurd isn't great. If they do, then we need to be in here tomorrow a bit disappointed.
Yes, they are not a top five team.
No,
I think they're 12 to 15.
Yeah. And so when I say not that good, I'm judging them by their standards. I think there are a bunch of teams who at the end of the year are going to say, man, I wish I could trade places with them. But I think at Alex Box Stadium, they're going to be looking around saying, well, this ain't last year.
Well, you look at what they lost last year and what they replaced it with. They've got some freshmen in the lineup that I think are going to be pretty good, but they lost a Dylan Cruz. They lost a top player and, you know, a generational player in Paul Skeens. And this is not a knock at Luke Holman. Luke Holman is a good pitcher, but he ain't Paul Skeens.
No, he's a really good college pitcher.
Yeah.
Paul Skeens was a generational talent.
Yeah.
There's, you know, like it or not, one was mortal and one wasn't.
Got Dugas. They lost Dugas. They lost, you know.
Dylan Cruz.
They lost Joe Bear. I mean, they have some players they're having to replace. Now, I will say this. Tommy White has made a big-time jump.
Oh, my goodness.
As a third baseman. Not just as a hitter, but as a third baseman. He made a couple plays in the game on Friday that was really big. And then yesterday, you know, we come to the plate. We got Aaron. I would not trade that situation for who we had at the plate at that exact time with anybody. I really wouldn't. And I know the obvious, okay, Dakota Jordan or somebody else, Mershon. But Aaron Downs has been seeing the ball well. And you got runners at first and second, two outs. You're down by a run. And you hit a ground ball inside the bag at third, and Tommy White makes a great play, steps on the bag, tosses across, and boom, there you go. We made a great
play. Yeah, so it was one out. They turned the double play.
Yeah, it was one out, and they turned the double play. And, I mean, we turned a great double play. Imani Larry and Hunter Hines made a great pick over at first base. They were good plays in that game. And let me ask you this question. I did have some people standing around me that were like, why do you send Imani Larry right there? And I was like, why do you not? And yeah, he was thrown out a good bit. It was a double down the right field line. It got in the bullpen. And here's what you got to think about as a third base coach. A third base coach, Kyle Cheesebro, understands the situation. He is the first guy in the stadium that understands that Dakota Jordan is coming to the plate next with two outs. And so the guy was like, man, I can't believe you sent him right there and you take the bat out of Dakota's hands. Well, do you not understand where Mershon was? He was standing on the second base bag. He had a double. The bat is already out of Dakota Jordan's hands. Dakota Jordan's not going to swing the bat in the next at bat. Am I wrong for saying that? Do you send him right there? Because I do. And I'm fine if you disagree with that.
No, look, a lot has to go right to get him out, including botching a review.
Well, evidently, some people say the ball dropped. I was in the outfield, did not see it. So I cannot say I saw it with my own two eyes. I just read the Twitter world saying that the ball was dropped underneath Imani Larry. Now, he was thrown out by plenty, but I didn't see the review. I did not get the review on the video board yesterday, so I did not see it.
All right. Yeah, that's – I'm going to pass on that for now.
Well, see, I know that's the great thing about being around someone for as long as you're around them is I know your trigger buttons.
Well,
and I tried very easily just to kind of slide that in there, but you didn't take the bait.
No, I'm going to let that hanging curveball just go past. All right. I want to take issue with one thing you said coming in just a minute ago. You said we didn't walk that many. We walked 12 guys. I mean, that wasn't just the third inning, right?
Well, maybe because I was in the outfield and really not paying.
Now, but here's what happened. They didn't score after Gavin Black. So, Cal Steven starts the game. He wasn't walking guys. He was throwing BP. It was just not his day. They were – Cal Stevens had some really good outings. It just happened that yesterday he was getting squared up. Gavin Black walks 4 2/3 of an inning, gives up 4 earned runs. But then Ligon walked 3/3. Nobody scored. Harden walked 3/2/3. None of them scored. Schulke walked 1, but nobody scored. So here's another thing, I guess, to take some solace in. You know, we gave up everything we gave up in the first 2 2/3. After that, Ligon, Harden, Schulke, and Dodson, they don't allow a run. And what would have happened in the past two seasons with our bullpen?
Okay.
Going to the bullpen would have been like going gas on the fire, man.
All right, let's start with number one, Gavin Black. And you said he walked 4 yesterday. And this is one of the things I'm kind of interested to see today is the report from TrackMan when we get to the ballpark and kind of start looking at how that game was called in the third inning, because I was getting some a little few behind the scene texts yesterday during that third inning that we were getting squeezed pretty good.
Yeah, I got the same, and you saw Chris Lemonis barking.
Yeah,
I mean they know. You know, when a coach is sitting in the dugout arguing balls and strikes, it isn't because somebody from behind the plate. It isn't because the crowd was yelling. They know.
Yeah.
They know. And so when he was getting frustrated, he knew what he was talking about. And I thought, you know, as they say, he struck out one guy twice and then gives up a double. Well, that's
– Well, he walked a guy the other day. I mean, he walked a guy yesterday that he struck out twice, and the next guy hits a home run.
Yeah.
And there's the one run, you know? I mean, and I know baseball sequential, the game plays out differently. But I thought we, you know, from what I was getting from people who are not just fans, but people who know, they were saying we may have been getting squeezed a little bit in that situation. So.
But yes, the sum total of it for me is this. It is an absolute kind of baby steps approach. And I get it, this isn't where our expectations should be. But what we saw yesterday, even in a loss, in both games, basketball and baseball, we saw two teams that played to the end, that played hard, that had some things they'd like to go back and clean up a little bit, but overall laid it on the line. And I thought our baseball team gave us...
Okay, can I jump in there? And because I am in a good mood this morning and say something a little bit negative, and I don't mean to be negative in any way with this. And it's not toward our players, not toward our situation at all. Because I didn't think yesterday when you lost that basketball game against Auburn had had anything to do with officiating at all. And I know, to me, calling men's basketball has to be one of the hardest jobs. And those guys are compensated extremely well. But – it is very hard to do because you almost have to go into the game of the three guys getting together and say, this is how we're going to call this game. I thought the way the game started in the first half, there are 37 states that will file felony charges against you for some of the things they were letting go. I mean, it was a hammer dog fight down to the low post. I mean, just letting them get away with anything. And then you had a little bit of a little blow up there, and then they started calling everything. Every possession down the floor was a foul. And then the last 5 minutes of the game was back to a free-for-all. There was zero flow to that basketball game yesterday. Zero flow.
And I place it squarely at the hands of one Joe Lindsay. Growing up, I always had the officials that I kind of loved to hate. You know, you had those guys like John Clockerty and Don Rutledge and those guys that you just kind of wanted to complain about, but they showed up and did their job every day. You know, Lyle Boudreau, Andre Patello, right? You had those guys you just wanted to be a little mad at. Now, in the women's game, you know, I'd say, hey, Brian Enterline, I think he calls a pretty good game. You've got some people that, you know, Meta Roberts or whatever her last name is now, where you kind of
– You didn't say Dee Cantner.
Well, that's what I was getting to. There are some officials, however, who it's not that, man, they're going to kick one, you're going to give them a hard time, but, you know, they're a good official.
They're just bad.
There are some who are just not good at their job. And in the women's game, Dee Cantner is not only bad, she's arrogant. And when you put the arrogance and the lack of ability together, it's very frustrating to watch. It's also very frustrating that she gets big-time games. I get it. There was a lot of basketball being played yesterday, and there were a lot of important games being played. You had the last Pac-12 championship you're going to have. You got the ACC going on. There was a lot going on, and I get that. But Nashville's a pretty cool city. The SEC semifinals, to me, seem reasonably worthy of having some people who were, you know, borderline competent. And this group was not. And I want to go back. I want to underscore what you said. Didn't change the outcome. It didn't change the outcome. Now, it changed from a fan's perspective and enjoyment of watching a game. Because what happened is those guys let it get out of control.
It was way out of control.
I thought the review on Keyshawn Murphy was dumb because they miss, and they missed this on the replay. They missed when the guy pinned to the ground by his neck. You know, they don't ever give you that. And that's fine. I thought that was a bad call. But there needed to be a collective, guys, we're going to shut up and play basketball kind of moment. We had our own. We had our guys who had to be called down. But Baker Mazzara ought to be, well, he ought to have a stern talking to. I'll just leave it at that. Because the guy runs his – he's good. He's good, but he doesn't shut up. And if you're an official, you got to make him shut up. Because the running the mouth is what leads to the pushing.
Well, it's almost like the emphasis they put in baseball about running your mouth. You know, we're going to warn you, and then all of a sudden, you know, the stern talking to is over.
Yeah.
We're going to throw you out of here. Yesterday, the way that they let it get out of hand and the trash talking, and like I said, like you said, we had some guys too, but I thought they let it get out of control.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But here's what kind of tips you off too. Say what you will about DJ Jeffries. He has not been a problem guy.
No.
You know, you can say everything you want to say about Memphis basketball and all that. DJ Jeffries is a good student, to use your classroom example, right? And when he's mad, when something's going on, something happened. Yeah. Something was said because it takes a lot. Candidly, I wish we had somebody to kind of push his buttons more often because DJ comes out sometimes and looks passive, right? So for him, now if you'd have told me, hey, Cam Matthews lost his temper, you know, all right, I can get that's
okay, I can get on board with that. Yeah.
I can see that because that's a guy who is built that way. But how many times has Deshaun Davis gone out looking to fight somebody?
Yeah.
That's not his game. And so I think I'm a big believer in, and I know a lot of people, well, we're just getting soft. Man, you got to police the trash talk, particularly in a game where you got two coaches like Jans and Bruce Pearl, right? I mean, the teams feed off of them. They're intense already. When you know you got two intense basketball teams, just get it in check. But you can't change the way you call it because I thought for a while there it was just miserable to watch.
Yeah, it was.
Now, what? You knew my buttons and you pushed one.
Huh?
But I was very proud 3 days in a row where if you take away the first half against LSU, after which I was in the concourse asking friends of mine, have we quit? Do we want to be here? They came out in the second half, played really well, in that ball game against Tennessee, and thank goodness they did. And then they played well yesterday. You could just see the legs were gone. You know, Hubbard got his points. But there's a little bit of you can't evaluate Hubbard's performance just by looking at the points column. You know, he was 1 of 8 for 3. We were 3 of 15 as a team. You know what that's a product of? Our legs were gone.
Tired. We were tired.
3 straight days of college basketball is tough. And here's the good news. You don't have to do that anymore.
Well, and it was accentuated too. I'm going back to my point. I think the tired legs was accentuated by the point you're playing on the third day, and then in the first half, on the third day, you're playing, you know, in a freaking brawl.
It was ice hockey out there.
I mean, it was just unbelievable. And so, yeah, you're going to be dead tired in the second half because you're just worn down. Now, hey, we're equally as physical. I mean, we would have probably – if they'd have called that game – but, I mean, you adjust to how the game is called. That's the whole thing. But, you know, we were just as physical as Auburn was for most of the first half yesterday. But I just thought they let it get out of hand, man.
But I'll tell you one thing I thought you saw yesterday. I thought you saw two very good college basketball coaches. Bruce Pearl's a great coach.
Hey, you can say whatever you want about Bruce Pearl. And he is an interesting cat now. He is an interesting dude. And, okay, so would Bruce Pearl's persona, not really persona, would his the way that people think about him in college basketball, did he make one big mistake? I'm saying one big mistake by looking to the NCAA and say, no, they didn't come to my house. He lied. He threw a lie out there. If he said, yeah, they came to my house, and, yeah, you can hit me with some penalties, and they would have. It wouldn't have been near as bad. He's a likable guy. If you've ever been around Bruce Pearl, the people around Bruce Pearl, then I'm not talking about the people over at Auburn right now. I'm talking about the people who were at Tennessee with Bruce Pearl, the people who have been around Bruce Pearl. He is an engaging guy, and the people that are around him love him.
Well, and I'll tell you what says something to me. I compare Jans and Pearl in this trait. It manifests itself in different ways. But Chris Jans, if you've ever been around Mississippi State basketball, you know he coaches hard. And the other thing you should know is it's harder than it appears. I mean, you know, when they're at practice, there's not a lot of, hey, man, hope you're having a good day. How you feel today? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you got to be intense. And it's the same way. I think that's where they are very similar. You have to be comfortable in your own skin to play with guys like that.
Well, and so what I'd say is, you know, with Jans, if you're going to put up with him, with somebody like that, you have to know a few things. First, you got to know they care about you. And second, you got to know what they're talking about. And third, you got to believe they're going to make you better. All right. So to play for Chris Jans, you have to have that. So then let's flip it to Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl has that same intensity. The other thing that Bruce Pearl gets away with, he is politically outspoken. And he is quite often politically outspoken in ways that I'm not certain that many of the people playing for him would always agree with. Right? I can just say that. But you know what? His players love him. And I think it goes back to whatever you want to say about Bruce Pearl. I don't think you could ever discount he cares for his players, and he makes them better. And I looked yesterday. Those are two guys coaching that game that I respect the heck out of as basketball coaches.
Yeah. Well, now, Charlie, the only question is what seed do you get? You know, the last thing you want and what you're probably looking down the barrel of is an 8-9 game against either – Houston or Purdue in the second round. Now, you got to get past the first.
You saw what Lunardi had this morning, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
So, Lunardi has us as the 9 seed playing in Brooklyn against UConn in the second round, who right now is the decided number one.
Yeah.
Like, they're the only team that didn't stumble here this week. So, having been to Connecticut to play UConn with women's basketball, the idea of going to Brooklyn to play UConn is not terribly appealing. But, look, man, we saw what we did against Tennessee. We saw what we did against Auburn. We can play. And then you start to say this. I think the SEC in basketball is so much better than it has been. I think it is rugged. And I get a kick out of these people who are all the time complaining about, We got to do something different offensively, but it's hard to score in this league, man.
Yeah.
Who in this league, save for Missouri, doesn't defend?
Well, and it's almost like –
save for Alabama.
Right. And it's almost like the thing you worry about in the NCAA tournament in baseball is there are different parts of the country that are called differently from a strike zone standpoint. And in the NCAA tournament, we just talk about us playing in just a full-scale brawl over the last 3 months of the season. How is it going to be in the NCAA tournament? Because you get used to a certain style, how will the game be called? And I think that's going to be a big factor too. Now, if you send us to Brooklyn and say, hey, you got to play UConn, but you're going to give us the same process that we've been dealing with over the last 3 months where they really let them get after it and play, I mean, that plays in our favor a little bit. If you're going to be – if you're going to allow range of motion and allow dribble drive and you're going to call every reach in, then that is not conducive to us at all. And so I think a lot of it has to do with what kind of style you get and what's called in the NCAA tournament.
All right, so we'll be able to do something here before too long, talk about basketball, break down the opponents. We have baseball today. Gerangelo Sanja will go to the mound. Tommy White's getting hot. Not sure that's a good thing.
Yeah, he's getting hot. Bingham at the top of the order, the transfer from Arizona. You know, he's getting a little bit hotter right now. You know, Braswell was a transfer from South Carolina. They got him at shortstop. I mean, he's
interesting transfer for them to take, because you tend to think about LSU going out and taking the Friday night starter from somebody.
Yeah.
You know, he started like 30-something games last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a piece.
Right. That's
now, Milam, I think at second base, is going to be
really good. Yeah, he is. Hey, I'm wearing my Bulldog Initiative quarter zip this morning. You know where I got it?
You got that at Maroon & Company.
Got it Maroon & Company, Cotton Mill Marketplace. Maroon & Company right there beside Chick-fil-A. You can go to maroonandco.com. I'm wearing a Bulldog Initiative maroon quarter zip this morning because I was unsure of how cold it's going to be at the ballpark today. And so anything that you order from Maroon & Company, go to maroonandco.com or at the store and tell them you want to use the code NIL10. And you'll get 10% off your purchase. 5% will come back to the Bulldog Initiative, and that's our good friends at Maroon & Company, Wyatt Craig, and his fantastic people at Maroon & Company. And go right across the street to see our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. And we talked about Strange Brew presenting a Sunday coffee. Strange Brew, go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship that great coffee to you. Of course, Churn & Spoon ice cream. It's not going to be long before it's warm outside and you want some ice cream, and so that's the perfect place to get it on Spring Street and Highway 12. Also in Tupelo and in Tuscaloosa. Talked to Shane Reed just the other day. Shane and, man, just a great fine folks. Of course, they had the Mardi Gras. We hadn't talked about this. Mardi Gras in Noxapater last month, Charlie. They still have not built the deck on the Woody's down there, but you can also get that Strange Brew Coffee House at Woody's in Noxapater. So if you're going through between Louisville and Philadelphia, Woody's, and you got Strange Brew Coffee House, great folks, been good friends for a long, long time, our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. And yesterday, you know, you were out on the manning the grill, or did you man the grill? I know you were in the outfield.
I did not.
You did not?
I was in the outfield.
I did man the grill yesterday. And so yesterday, I put some crawfish and pork sausage from Country Pleasin'. And the rig that was next door to ours had some purple and gold in it, and they were obnoxious. You can't take a lot of those people to places where you go. And if you're going to invite friends in from other places, you need to make sure that they know how to act. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. These guys didn't, but we were very nice. But they were very impressed. They were like, man, this crawfish and pork sausage is unbelievable. Where'd you get it? I said, hey, you can get it now in grocery stores in Louisiana. And that's our good friends at Country Pleasin' Sausage.
We had pineapple and pork where I was.
Well, we had pineapple and pork, too. And also had the alligator and pork yesterday.
We had that.
Did you?
We had those, too.
Okay.
And they had to hear about it because I'm like, guys, I get three games out here all year. Three games. Y'all are using my rig. I get three games. No, we can't even get any jalapeno cheddar. These are some people that don't listen to the podcast, apparently, because I've made my preferences known.
Yep. But go to countrypleasin.com. They will ship it to you anywhere in the country. And they also have that butcher shop on Highway 49 down in Florence as well. And so our good friends at Country Pleasin Sausage. All right. So, yeah, today, Gerangelo. I haven't looked at the wind. Yesterday, LSU, they have been swinging, trying to get under balls this weekend. You saw it early in the game on Friday, and they hit some warning track balls on Friday. Hit a couple home runs in the game in the third inning. Charlie, looking back, you know, you see that, say this about yesterday, about how we pitched and LSU scored the 9 runs in, you know, the first 3 at-bats. You look back in the game on Friday as well, scoring 3 runs in the third inning. They took the lead there. The bullpen all weekend has been outstanding.
Can't complain at all.
No.
Can't complain at all. And, again, At the end of the year, I don't know where we're going to rank up statistically. But, man, you look what Justin Parker's done. And you got to remember, too, Parker came in here after this cake was baked, man. I mean, it wasn't like he was in here bringing in pitchers.
Okay, we made it 30 minutes into the show, and I want to apologize to the family and friends of Nolan Stevens about not mentioning him first.
Oh, boy.
What he did Friday night was big time, and it was a slider. He was throwing at times 86, 87-mile-an-hour slider.
Man, I'm telling you, though, I know that, look, a 92, 93-mile-an-hour fastball from the left side is good. It just got on you faster.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's his extension. I got to go back and look at the data there. But to follow that slider with that fastball, because just about time you get sitting there thinking, all right, I'm about to time up this slider, the ball's past you.
And it had bite to it.
I am so fired up about Nolan Stevens for this perspective, too. That guy brought positive energy and competitiveness. You could feel it. There was a pop-up outside first base in the stands. I thought he was going to take out three LSU players and go through the net trying to catch it. And I remember thinking, all right, let's calm down, buddy. But there are little moments sometimes that add up to be big things. The emergence of Nolan Stevens. And look, let me be the first to say, I don't know if it's going to be next weekend or the week. He's going to have a game where he gets hit.
Yep.
Something ain't going to work. And we'll have somebody, see, I told you, one hit, wonder. No. This guy's a dude, and I'm telling you, he can be a dude in the middle of your lineup as a batter, too.
Well, you put him in the game yesterday to pinch hit, and he comes through with a big single to center field. And so the guy can hit, too. I mean, he can forevermore hit, and he is a – like you said, I mean, he's a dude out on that mound. His presence on the mound the other day, and I was trying to think, you know, left-handed slider – and sliders are built different. You have sliders with depth.
And some that slide.
Yeah, and you have some that are sweeping, you know, more horizontal. That and I had a really good text from a buddy the other day, and Brian Temple, a good friend of ours, and he brought up a point. He was like, that slider looks a lot like lingering slider. And it really does, because it's that sweeping slider that has just a explosiveness at the very end. And he controlled it. You know, Jacob controlled it late in his career. He had a tough time early in his career.
He threw a lot of 59-footers.
He did.
And he got a lot of strikeouts on set 50.
Poor Gavin. Gavin back behind the plate, man, was just getting hammered.
I remember in the minor leagues, you know, Lindgren was leading the league in four strikeout innings because he would always strike somebody out that was getting to first because the catcher couldn't catch it.
Yeah, Gavin Collins, man, he would just take a beating back there. But that slider looked good yesterday from the left side. And so you say he can hit. I mean, he's still learning in the field. I mean, he came here as an infielder, and you put him out in the outfield, and he does a lot of things well. And, Charlie, you know who else does a lot of things well?
Who is that, Bart?
I would say if I was drawing a comparison, it would be somebody like Cannon Ford. Somebody like Cannon Ford.
They're more like Nolan Stevens late in his career. See, they've been around.
They have been around.
They do a lot of things well, but they've done it consistently.
Well, you know, you say
– Nolan Stevens is like the new location of Cannon Ford.
The thing about Nolan is he was really good on the mound, and that's where they are in selling newer used cars. I mean, that's the given. But he can also hit, and so that's the service center. And so they do the sales, the service center, and then the body shop, and they do a great job out there on Highway 182 just east of Starkville. Chris Keene and his fine staff, they will get you ready to roll if you have a fender bender. And then they'll get you that newer used car. They got a bigger selection right now. And also, if you go online to Cannon Ford of Starkville and you see something you don't want, if you say, hey, I want something a little bit different, they have all these dealerships around the southeast with Cannon, and so they can find you pretty much anything you want. And that's our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville. Hey, before we go any further, I saw Johnny Mills yesterday, John Mills, and John is a – I want to call him John, Jonathan, Johnny. We call him Mills, whatever. He is the he's with Heartland Catfish. Been with Heartland for a long, long time. And we were talking about Paris, Texas. He says, "Have you seriously gone to Paris, Texas?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've gone through Paris, Texas." He was like, well, I didn't know if you were just kind of embellishing with your livery the other day.
I wondered that myself.
No, absolutely. I have been driving between – okay, I have made the drive through Arkansas and northern Texas and going into Oklahoma, because in the southern part of Oklahoma is Durant, which is home of the Choctaw Indians in the state of Oklahoma. And so you have Durant, you have the Choctaw Casino that's over
there. Not to be confused with Durant.
Not Durant.
Durant, Mississippi.
It's Durant, Oklahoma. They have a Lake Nanawoya in that area. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
And so, yes, I have stopped by the Fish Fry Restaurant in Paris, Texas, and they do serve that great heartland catfish. And so if you have restaurants in the South and you serve catfish and you're like, hey, I want to add that to my menu, you can get it at one great place, and that's our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland, producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. Started in the Mississippi Delta, it's over in Itabena. All the way from their ponds to your plate, our good friends at Heartland Catfish. All right, so you and I have the game again today, and so I got to get back into broadcast mode, Charlie, from being the fan mode yesterday. Man, I had so much fun. And I'll say this, too. You know, we had a huge crowd yesterday, and I saw so many college students. I saw so many young kids in the outfield. And even the LSU people who were a little bit outspoken, they all looked around and said, you know, this place is awesome. And I don't think we fully appreciate sometimes what the product we have there with the stadium, with their tradition, with the maroon caps. We wore those maroon caps yesterday, that white Mississippi State jersey. I like the pinstripes. That's always been my favorite uniform. But anyway, but we have a baseball brand, and yesterday was awesome.
I love the maroon caps, and I would really love seeing them on Friday.
Would
with
you?
The maroon jerseys. But color me old-fashioned, I suppose.
Well, you know, some people are old-fashioned. Some people, you just got to ask yourself the question. If you're the brand, and we are one of the top brands in college baseball, the Cubs are a huge brand in Major League Baseball. How many times are the Cubs? Well, they'll wear the green today. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day.
See, I'm in green, by the way.
I'm not. I'm wearing a maroon pullover.
I was thinking about that, whether if I wore green that Benny would make us take it off. I feel like I need like a green ribbon or something.
And which is so funny, you know, I was watching some broadcasts the past couple of days, and there are some brethren that we have in our profession that love those 10 seconds of fame just to be on the TV. Just, you know, when we're broadcasting, we get like 10 seconds of FaceTime, and that's about it. And you and I are in the same category of
– Do we have to do this?
Do we have to do a stand-up today? Can we just, like, welcome everybody to the ballpark, you know? And that's, I guess that's from us being radios, and I have the face for radio. But there are some guys who really love it. And so I would be fine just going to the ballpark just like I am right now. Let you go in your green shirt. I go in my maroon shirt. And you don't have to see Bart and Charlie. I'm fine with that.
It's bad enough to have to hear us, much less look at us.
Yep. Well.
All right. Let's go to the ballpark.
All right. Once again, thanks to our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Heartland Catfish. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. Our good friends at Howard Technology Solutions. Give Howard a call. Go to howardcomputers.com to see how this Mississippi company can help you in the technology world, whether it's laptops, laptop computers, whether it's desktop computers, printers, whatever you need, lighting, howardcomputers.com. Of course, we're in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville. Farm Bureau, go with the home team at Farm Bureau. Country Pleasing Sausage and Maroon and Company. Get that Bulldog Initiative gear from our friends at Maroon and Company in the Cotton Mill Marketplace. So for Charlie Winfield, I'm Bart Gregory. See you guys at the ballpark later today. Also, men's basketball selection coming up later today. We're going dancing. Thank goodness. The way we played the last couple days, we're in the tournament. And so, anyway, we may come back sometime later in the week. We may have a Twitter space later today, Charlie.
Could happen.
And talk about, make sure you follow Charlie on Twitter, at Charlie Winfield. I'm at Bart Gregory. And, hey, before we go, I know one of the big questions is going to be, what's the ticket situation for the NCAA tournament?
I have this question myself.
And so you have to think about this. whenever you start thinking about the NCAA tournament, you're limited with the number of tickets that each school will get. And so by the time you factor in player parents, by the time you factor in, you know, the school allotment about the administrators and everybody going, you've only got a couple hundred tickets that you can deal with through the school. And so I mean this in the utmost and nicest way positive.
Oh, here we go.
Unless you are a top donor, then I would be looking for other sources of getting tickets, because it will go by priority rank order, and it's
there just aren't many.
There just are not many to have through the school. That's just borderline. Well, not, that's just point blank positive with the way it is.
So. All right, so you've touched another button.
Okay.
Here is my thing. If the NCAA is going to go around and award these regionals everywhere, and I'm good with that, well, here's my problem. Give more tickets to the schools. Because right now, if I just happen to look, that if our friend Joe Lenardi is right and we're in Brooklyn, I'm going to be out like two mortgage payments to get tickets because yep. they've been bought up. And I have no way. I can't go buy tickets at 16 different locations just on the theory that I might go there and then be stuck trying to unload the others. So I am just cannot wait to tap dance on the grave of the National Collegiate Athletics Association and all the ill-willed, contemptible people.
Well, you may not have to wait long.
And I'm okay with that. Now, although I have been warned many times in life that just because you're replacing something doesn't mean it's getting better.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Be careful what you wish for. You never know what's coming in behind it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on Sunday Coffee. Follow us on Twitter, at Bart Gregory, at Charlie Winfield. We'll probably do a Twitter space later today to get you ready for the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on Sunday Coffee.